Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Burke Davis presents Sherman March as a narrative history of one of the most consequential military campaigns of the American Civil War. The book follows General William T. Sherman and roughly 65,000 Union troops from the destruction of Atlanta through the March to the Sea, the capture of Savannah, and the later movement through the Carolinas. Its purpose is not only to recount troop movements and strategic outcomes, but also to show how the campaign was experienced by soldiers, civilians, and Confederate defenders. Davis relies heavily on eyewitness accounts, blending operational history with personal testimony. The result is a work that treats the campaign as both a military event and a psychological assault on the Confederacy. The book is especially concerned with the human consequences of scorched earth warfare, the collapse of Southern resistance, and the lasting controversy around Sherman as a commander who helped end the war by expanding its reach into civilian life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the campaign from Atlanta to the Carolinas as a strategic blow against the Confederacy, Davis frames the march as more than a dramatic movement of troops across hostile territory. The campaign mattered because it struck at the material base, morale, and political confidence of the Confederacy during the final phase of the Civil War, after Atlanta fell. Sherman moved away from conventional supply lines and advanced across Georgia toward Savannah. Demonstrating that Union forces could penetrate the southern interior with little effective opposition. The later movement into the Carolinas extended the same logic, especially as Union soldiers viewed South Carolina as deeply responsible for secession. Davis shows that the campaign weakened the Confederacy not only by destroying railroads, depots, crops, and infrastructure, but by proving that Confederate authorities could no longer protect civilians far from the main battlefronts. This psychological dimension is central to the book. The march challenged the idea that the Confederacy remained a viable national project by presenting the campaign as a sequence of military decisions, civilian encounters, and symbolic shocks. Davis explains why the movement became a turning point in the closing months of the war. Secondly, foraging, destruction, and the practical mechanics of scorched earth warfare. A central theme of the book is the way Sherman's campaign converted movement, supply, and destruction into a single military method. Davis pays close attention to the policy of liberal foraging, under which Union troops lived off the countryside while denying resources to Confederate armies. This practice made the army less dependent on vulnerable supply lines, but it also blurred the boundary between authorized requisition and uncontrolled plunder. Davis does not reduce the campaign to either disciplined strategy or simple vandalism. Instead, he shows how military orders, soldier behavior, and local conditions interacted on the ground. Farms, livestock, food stores, railroads, and public facilities became targets because they sustained Confederate resistance. Yet the same process exposed civilians to fear, humiliation, and material ruin. The book is strongest when it explains how a strategic principle became a daily reality for households in the path of the army. Scorched earth warfare appears not as an abstract doctrine, but as a series of choices made by commanders and soldiers in kitchens, barns, fields, and towns. Thirdly, eyewitness testimony as the foundation of the narrative method. One of the features that distinguishes Davis from more narrowly analytical military histories is his extensive use of firsthand accounts. The book draws on the voices of Union soldiers, Confederate soldiers, women, men, and families who encountered the march directly. This method gives the campaign a layered texture. Readers see the same event through different forms of perception: confidence among Federal troops, anger and fear among Southern civilians, frustration among Confederate defenders, and occasional moments of defiance or bargaining. The reliance on testimony also helps Davis avoid presenting the march only from the viewpoint of high command. Strategy remains important, but the evidence repeatedly returns the reader to immediate experience. The method has interpretive value because the campaign itself was designed to affect perception as much as logistics. By assembling many accounts, Davis can show how the march was remembered as liberation, punishment, invasion, necessity, or trauma depending on the witness. The result is a narrative that remains accessible while still anchored in documentary detail. Fourthly, civilian vulnerability and the Southern memory of invasion. Davis gives substantial attention to the civilians who stood in the path of the Union advance, especially families trying to hide food, valuables, livestock, and household goods. This emphasis matters because the march became one of the most enduring symbols of wartime suffering in Southern memory. The book presents civilians not simply as passive victims, but as people making rapid decisions under conditions of uncertainty. Some attempted concealment, negotiation, protest, or symbolic resistance. Others could do little as troops searched homes and outbuildings. Davis treats these experiences as central to the meaning of the campaign. The destruction of property had strategic purpose, but its impact was personal and immediate. By showing how military policy entered domestic spaces, The book clarifies why Sherman's name remains so controversial after the war. It also helps readers understand the difference between battlefield casualties and social devastation. The march did not depend primarily on large battles, yet it left a deep imprint because it made civilians feel the powerlessness of a collapsing society. Lastly, Sherman is a confident commander in a collapsing Confederate landscape. The book also studies Sherman as a military personality at a specific moment in the war. Davis presents him as a commander whose confidence had grown sharply by late 1864. Earlier doubts about his steadiness had given way to a willingness to act boldly, detach from traditional lines of supply, and use movement as a form of strategic pressure. The march succeeded partly because Sherman correctly judged the weakened condition of the Confederacy. Opposition in Georgia was limited, and many available defenders were too old, too young, too scattered, or too poorly organized to stop a large veteran army. Davis does not treat this as inevitable. Contemporary observers often feared that Sherman's force would be trapped or destroyed, especially in difficult terrain. The book, therefore, highlights the gap between anticipated risk and actual Confederate incapacity. Sherman's command style combined operational audacity with a harsh understanding of war as a contest of will. Davis uses this portrait to explain why the campaign was both militarily effective and morally disputed. In conclusion, Sherman March is best suited for readers interested in Civil War campaigns, military leadership, the home front, and the relationship between strategy and civilian suffering. It offers practical intellectual benefits for anyone trying to understand how wars are won beyond the battlefield. Davis shows that the campaign worked because it combined mobility, resource denial, psychological pressure, and symbolic domination. At the same time, he keeps attention on the cost paid by people who are not formal combatants. That balance makes the book useful for readers who want more than a map-based account of troop movements. Compared with some academic campaign studies, it is more narrative and witness-driven. Compared with popular biographies of Sherman, it gives more space to the people who experienced the army as an invading force. Its distinctive value lies in the collation of many eyewitness accounts into a coherent account of a controversial campaign. The book does not require specialized military knowledge, but it rewards readers who care about operational detail, historical memory, and moral ambiguity. It stands out in Civil War literature because it treats the march as a military operation, a social shock, and a lasting problem of national memory, rather than as a simple episode of triumph or destruction. If you would like to support Burke Davis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.